You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's readings, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in your own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 101, and we will continue reading from volume 2. From the section, from the close of the first Pasch to the conversion of the Samaritan woman at the well. Today, we are reading number 10, Jesus and Bethania, inns established for the accommodation of Jesus and the disciples on their journeys, the pearl lost and found. With Lazarus and the five disciples belonging to Jerusalem, Jesus traversed the road from Capernaum to Bethania, through the region of Bethulia, but to Bethulia itself, which lay high in the distance, they did not go. Their way ran around it toward Jezreel, outside of which Lazarus owned a kind of accommodation inn with a garden. The disciples had gone on ahead and prepared a luncheon. One of the trusty servants of Lazarus had charge of the place. It was early in the morning when they washed their feet here, shook the dust from their clothes, ate something, and took a little rest. From Jezreel, they went over a little river, leaving Scythopolis, and afterwards Salem to the left, crossed a mountain spur, and approached the Jordan. Continuing their course southward, they crossed the river below Samaria, and because it was already night, rested some hours on an eminence of the river's bank, where some faithful shepherds dwelt. Before daybreak next morning, they started again and directed their steps toward Hai and Gilgal through the desert of Jericho. Jesus and Lazarus journeyed together, while the disciples went ahead by another route. Jesus and Lazarus walked the whole day by unfrequented paths without touching at any place, not even at the inn that Lazarus owned on the side of the desert. When within a few hours of Bethania, Lazarus went on ahead, and Jesus continued his journey alone. There were assembled at Bethania with Lazarus and the five disciples from Jerusalem, about 15 disciples and followers of Jesus, and seven women: Saturnin, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, his nephews, Simeon's sons, and those of Johanna Chuza, Veronica, and Obed, respectively. Among the women were Veronica, Johanna Chuza, Susanna, Mary, Marcus, the widow of Obed, Martha, and the discreet old holy woman who cared for the wants of the Lord and his disciples. All were gathered in a large subterranean vault of Lazarus's castle, quietly and it seemed secretly awaiting the coming of Jesus. Toward evening, he arrived and entered the garden by a back gate. Lazarus went out to meet him in a reception hall, where he washed his feet. There was here a deep basin connected with the house of the pipes, through which Martha poured tepid water for the use of their guest. Jesus, sitting on the rim of the basin, immersed his feet, which Lazarus washed and dried. After that, he shook out Jesus' garments, put on his feet fresh sandals, and handed him a little food and drink. Then Jesus accompanied Lazarus through a long, shady walk up to the house and down into the vaulted chamber. The women drew their veils and bowed low on their knees before him, while the men inclined profoundly. Jesus greeted all and blessed them, after which they took their place at table. The women sat on cushions at one side of the table, their feet crossed under them. Nicodemus was remarkably impressed and very desirous of hearing every word of Jesus. The men spoke indignantly of John's imprisonment, but Jesus said that it had to be. It was the will of God, and that they should not speak of such things in order not to attract attention and thereby give rise to danger. If John had not been removed from the scene of action, he himself would not have yet been able to labor here. The blossoms must fall if the fruit is to appear. Then they spoke angrily of the spying and persecution set on foot by the Pharisees, whereupon Jesus again commanded them to be at peace. He deplored the action of the Pharisees and related the parable of the unjust steward. The Pharisees, too, were unjust stewards, though not so prudent as the subject of the parable. Therefore, would they have no resource on the day of reckoning. After the meal, they retired to another apartment, where lamps were lighted. Jesus prayed aloud, and they began the exercises of the Sabbath. After that, Jesus conversed a while with the men, and all retired to rest. When silence reigned in the house and the inmates were sunk in slumber, Jesus arose from his couch and went out unperceived to the cave of the Mount of Olivet, in which, on the day before his bitter passion, he would wrestle in prayer. He prayed several hours to his heavenly Father for strength to accomplish his work, and before daybreak returned unnoticed to Bethania. The sons of Obed, who were servers in the temple, now returned with some others to Jerusalem, but the rest of the guests remained quietly in the house, and none but themselves knew of Jesus' presence. During the meal today, Jesus told them of his stay among the people of Upper Galilee, at Ammiad, Adama, and Seleucia. And as the men in their zeal vehemently inveighed against the sects, he reproved them for their bitterness, and related to them a parable. He told them of a man who, on the way to Jericho, had fallen among robbers, and who had received more pity from a Samaritan than a Levite. I'd always heard this parable, related in the same way, though with different applications. He spoke also of the calamities about to befall Jerusalem. At night, when all were asleep, Jesus went again to pray in the cave on the Mount of Olives. He shed many tears and endured intense fear and anguish. He was like a son going forth to great labors, and who first threw himself on the bosom of his Father to receive strength and comfort. My guide told me that whenever Jesus was in Bethania and had an hour to spare, he used to go to that cave to pray. This was a preparation for the last agony on Mount Olivet. It was also shown to me that Jesus chiefly, on Mount Olivet, prayed and sorrowed because Adam and Eve, when driven from paradise, had here first trodden the inhospitable earth. I saw them in that cave sorrowing and praying. And it was on this mountain which Cain was cultivating for the first time that he became so enraged as to resolve to kill Abel. I thought of Judas. I saw Cain murdering his brother in the vicinity of Mount Calvary and on Mount Olivet, called by God to account for the same. Daybreak found Jesus back again in Bethania. The Sabbath over that took place on account of which principally Jesus had come to Bethania. The holy women had heard with sorrow what hardships Jesus and his followers had had to endure upon their journeys, and that Jesus, especially on his last hurried journey to Tyre, had suffered such want. They had heard of his having to soften the hard crusts, which Saturnin had begged on the way, in order to be able to eat them. They had therefore offered to establish inns and furnish them with all that was necessary. Jesus accepted their offer, and came hither to make them the necessary arrangements, as he now declared that he would henceforth publicly teach everywhere. Lazarus and the women again offered to establish inns, and especially since the Jews in the cities around Jerusalem, instigated by the Pharisees, would furnish nothing to him and his disciples. They also begged the Lord to signify to them the principal stopping places on his journeys, and the number of his disciples, that they might know how many inns would be needed and what quantity of provisions to supply. Jesus replied by giving them the route of his future journeys, also the stopping places and the probable number of disciples. It was decided that about 15 inns should be made ready and entrusted to the care of confidential persons, some of them relatives either of Lazarus or of the Holy Family. They were scattered throughout the whole country, with the exception of the district of Cabul, toward Tyre and Sidon. The holy women then consulted together as to what district each should see to and what share each should take in the new establishments to supply furniture, covers, clothes, sandals, etc., to provide for washing and repairing and to attend to the furnishing of bread and other necessaries. All this took place before and during the meal. Martha was in her element. After the meal, Jesus, Lazarus, and other friends, and the holy women assembled secretly in another of the subterranean halls. Jesus sat on a raised seat at one side of the hall. The men standing and sitting around him, the women were on the opposite side, on steps covered with carpets and cushions. Jesus spoke of the mercy of God to his people. He had sent them prophets, one after another, whom they had disowned and ill-treated. Now they would reject the supreme grace, and he predicted what would betide them. After he had dwelt upon this at length, some of his hearers said to him, "Lord, relate this to us in a beautiful parable." After, Jesus told them the parable of a king, who after all his servants had been killed by the unfaithful vine dressers, sent his son into the vineyard where he too was murdered. Some of the men withdrew at the close of this instruction, and Jesus went with others into the hall and walked up and down. Martha, who was passing to and fro, approached him and had a long talk about her sister, Magdalene. She related what she had heard of her from Veronica and her own consequent anxiety. While Jesus was walking up and down the hall with the men and the women sat playing a kind of lottery with the benefit of their new undertaking. On the elevated platform was a table on rollers around which they sat. The plane of the table, which projected into five angels like the rays of a star, covered a box about 2 inches in depth. From the five points of the center of this partitioned box ran deep furrows on the surface, and between them were slits connecting the interior. Each of the women had some long strings of pearls and many other little precious stones. Each, in turn, placed some of them in one of the furrows on the table. Then, resting a delicate little bow on the outer end of the furrow, she shot a tiny arrow at the nearest pearl or stone. The shock received by this one communicated itself to the rest, which rolled into the other furrows or dropped through the holes in the compartments in the interior of the box. When all the pearls and stones had been shot from the surface, the table, which was upon rollers, was agitated to and fro, by which movement the contents fell into other little compartments, which could be drawn out at the edge. Each of these little drawers had previously been assigned to one of the players, so that when the holy women drew them out, they saw at once what they had won for their undertaking, or which jewel had they lost. Obed had died not long before, and his widow was still mourning for him. Before the baptism, he had been at Lazarus's with Jesus. During the game, the holy women lost a very precious pearl that had fallen down among them. All moved back and looked for it most carefully. When at last they found it and were expressing their joy, Jesus came over to them and related the parable of the lost drachma and the joys of the owner upon finding it again. From their pearl lost, carefully sought, and joyfully found, he drew a new similitude to Magdalene. He called her a pearl more precious than many others, that from the lottery table of holy love had fallen and were going to destruction. With what joy, he exclaimed, "Will ye find again this precious pearl?" Then the woman, deeply moved, asked, "Ah, Lord, will that pearl be found again?" And Jesus answered, "Seek ye more earnestly than the women in the parable sought the last drachma on the shepherd, his stray sheep." Profoundly touched at this answer, all promised to seek after Magdalene more diligently than after their lost pearl, and assured him that their joy upon finding her would far exceed what they now felt. Some of the women begged the Lord to receive among his disciples the young man of Samaria, who after the Pasch had besought this favor of him on the road to that city. They praised his great wisdom and virtue. I think he was related to one of them, but Jesus replied that he could not count upon him, as he was blinded by love of riches. That evening, several of the men and women began their preparations to go to Bethoron, where Jesus was to preach the next day. That night, Jesus again retired secretly to the Mount of Olives and prayed with his whole heart and soul, after which he went with Lazarus and Saturnin to Bethoron, about 6 hours off. It was then 1 hour past midnight. They cut through the desert on their way. When they, about 2 hours distant from Bethoron, they were met by the disciples whom Jesus had appointed to join them there, and who had arrived at the inn near Bethoron the day before. They were Peter, Andrew, and their half-brother Jonathan, James the Greater, John, James the Less, and Judas Thaddeus, who was with them, and now for the first time Philip, Nathanael Chesed, also the bridegroom of Cana, and one or two of the widow's sons. Jesus rested with them under a tree in the desert for a long time, and gave them an instruction. He spoke again on the parable of the Lord of the vineyard, who had sent his sons to the vine dressers. At the conclusion of the discourse, they proceeded to the inn, and took something to eat. Saturnin had received from the women a purse of money, from which to procure provisions for the little pantry. This concludes our reading for today, and now we begin our reflection on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Well, in our reading today, we get a lot of parables, don't we? We've heard about several of the parables that Jesus would use, and the ones that we're familiar with because they're in the Gospels. So we heard the parable of the vine dresser, and that was one that we heard a few times in today's reading. We also heard the parable of the lost talent and finding the talent. So there is a great emphasis on these parabolic teachings of Jesus. And we are able to benefit from hearing, and maybe there's new insights, or maybe we get one little thing in addition to what we already have come to know and understand. The other major thing in our reading today is the fact that Jesus goes up to the Mount of Olives, and it's there that he prays, and he returned there several times. So there were at least two or three instances in the reading where he prayed on the Mount of Olives. Now, I think there's something significant there that we can highlight. The very fact first that this is where Jesus prays on the night before on the night of his betrayal, where he is arrested. So he prays there. And by having him pray there now, well, we realize this is a place that Jesus returns to pray at again and again. Now, for you and me, we return to the same place often to pray, especially when we go to our local church. That is a place where we pray. Now, I'm very much a pilgrim. I love visiting shrines and such, and so I return to different shrines to pray there for a particular reason, because I like the shrine, I like the area, I pray for the grace that is associated with the shrine, whatever it might be. And so I return again and again. I was just speaking to someone the other day, and they too were a pilgrim. And they have been a Champion to this Wisconsin apparition several times. And they said that there's something that always brings them back there. They return, just like Jesus, returning to pray. So maybe what's that place that you return to pray at often? You know, one of the things I guess I didn't really realize when I was in the Holy Land, the two different times that I've been there, was the fact that the Holy Land is perceived to be the place where Adam and Eve were, they were from the very beginning, that this place of the Holy Land was connected to the early days of creation. Just something I didn't really grasp. And it really wasn't until reading Anne Catherine Emmerich here that I grasped that. That even, you know, the fact that it's called the place of the skull where Jesus is crucified. Well, the place of the skull, because that's where the skull of Adam is, they believe. So you get the sense then, Adam and Eve, they were in this place. And we hear that today, that it was also shown to me that Jesus, chiefly on Mount Olivet, prayed and sorrowed because Adam and Eve, when driven from paradise, had here first trodden the inhospitable earth. And then we heard a little bit about Cain and Abel and such as well. So just kind of one of those things that it puts the pieces together as we read these mystical readings. I think, too, I was very taken by just the fact that it says, Jesus spoke of the mercy of God to his people. Jesus is the mercy of God. But I guess I'm just really struck by, well, what was it that Jesus was saying about God's mercy? We hear, you know, he had sent them prophets one after another that they disowned and ill-treated and so forth. But what was Jesus's teaching of the mercy of God? Of course, through private revelation, we have a beautiful teaching about the Lord's mercy from Saint Faustina. Finally, as Jesus relates that parable of the lost talent, he does so to emphasize Magdalene and how much they should seek for Magdalene and for her conversion, that she is the lost talent. So I think for you and me, as we hear this, and it says that, you know, Jesus says, seek more earnestly than the women in the parable sought the last drachma or the shepherd his stray sheep. Profoundly touches at this answer, all promise to seek after Magdalene more diligently than after their lost pearl. So, who is the lost pearl in your life that you're seeking after? Well, do so with great zeal, like those in today's reading. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.